Blog Talk Radio.
This next song is a favorite of mine because I stop and think of why I love Jesus. And the first thing that comes to mind is I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he looked beyond my faults and he sees all of my needs. I love him because in spite of Edward, he still loves me. I love him because he meets every need. And not only the need, but he supplies and gives me my heart's desire. Saints, you know a lot of things we don't even need. We don't even need them, but just because we want them, God gives them to us. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we come with, Lord, I love you.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Diseases, people are slipping away. The economy's down, people can't get enough pay. And for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hey. Folks without home, living out in
message is entitled, The Wolf is at the Door. The Wolf is at the Door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah says these words. Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day created by God's own people that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. Matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that are God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or a supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. Book of Proverbs says a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today hearing my voice ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. That means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear. When you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage. And, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God, and sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words, but the reality is that the corpse is still dead. Mm. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves, lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little, they have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing, and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said you go across land and sea to get one convert and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the Word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion. For the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin. Amen. In the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the Word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. Amen. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. Amen. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments. We're going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. For people to say, oh God, help me, please, to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me off, get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he were standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known, and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment. For those who just know you have to turn from something, and for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about in your life, but you say, God, I'm stuck in neutral. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. But today you say, I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I want my voice to have authority. If that's you, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your way here. We're going to pray together and believe God to answer our prayer. In the annex, you can make your way here. We'll wait for you. In the campus churches, step between the screens, if you will. We'll be back in just a moment. Every time I look at people at this altar, I see a mighty army of God. I do. I honestly do. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would give every man, every woman, every young person who is at this altar, who are responding in our campus churches or at home, courage, Lord, and compassion. Lord, your word speaks of a perfect love that casts out fear. So God, give us a love for people that we would not be afraid to speak truth without condemning them, without railing, just loving and speaking the truth. Father, help those that are caught in sin to turn from it. Help us as your people, my God, to be clean. We who bear the treasure of Christ in these earthen vessels, cleanse us, God, of impurity and mixture and things that cause your voice not to be heard or your heart not to be seen. Give us the grace we need to be the people of God. Lord, help us. Help this nation. Give us a moment of mercy, Lord, to turn back to you again. Give us the grace to pray. Heal our homes, our families, our marriages, our children, my God. Deliver us, Lord, from those that crept in to our schools, our colleges, and our high schools, Lord, and took captive our children. Deliver us, God, from this moment. As you delivered your people out of Egypt, deliver us, God, from those who are throwing our children into the river of confusion. Forgive us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, for what we allowed in our laziness to come into our borders. Forgive us, Lord God, for abdicating the training of our children and giving it to others, Lord, who took advantage and began to steal them from your kingdom. God, help us now to take our rightful place. Help the fathers here to take their place as the head of their home, as the guide, the spiritual guide of their families. Help the mothers to understand the incredible power that they have. Lord, it is truly said that the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the nation. That's true. That's true. I pray, God, for every woman here. God, I ask today, Lord, that even from this meeting today, people would rise up and find your will and walk into it, Lord, with faith. Whatever it is, wherever you lead us, take us, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord. We dedicate our futures to you. We thank you for covering our past and our present failure and giving us the promise of new life into the future. Lord, we will not despise you. We will not turn our faces from you or lightly esteem you. Your word is the truth, Lord. It is the only guide we have into eternal life. So God, help us, Lord. Help us to learn your word, to study your word, to know your word, and to cherish your word. Father, thank you for the great fruit that will be born into your kingdom just from the lives that are here at the altar and on their knees in their homes right now. Just thank you for the great fruit that will be born for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I was trying to go to the next clip of the morning. All right, we got it.
But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. Meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head. And I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. You had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Where were you shot?
In my stomach, twice.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome. It's Ranzo here from Know Christ. Today we have someone very, very special. He's about to share his testimony, a very, very powerful testimony, one that convicted me, one that is the most compelling hell testimony I've heard, one off. Indeed, so I want you guys to just sit back, relax, and get ready. Hey, Dominic, thanks for coming on.
Whoa, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank
all
you.
Right. So
yes, go ahead.
No problem. I saw your testimony on, I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife, right? Your wife reached out to me. I saw the video on YouTube, but I hadn't clicked on it yet. And then I saw an email from your wife, right, just sharing your story. And she said you never wanted to share, but she's like, you got to share. You got to share, right?
Yes.
And then look what's happening. God is using it, right?
Yes, definitely. Because at first, wow. I didn't want to share it. For years, I didn't, you know. And I don't think, you know, I just think the Lord put it on my heart that everything is on his timing, not on our timing. And I want people to realize that. Everything is on the Lord's timing. And it wasn't time for me years ago to share it because I wouldn't. But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. Meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head, and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me, meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head, and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. You had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome. It's Ranzo here from Know Christ. Today we have someone very, very special. He's about to share his testimony, a very, very powerful testimony, one that convicted me, one that is the most compelling hell testimony I've heard, one off. Indeed, so I want you guys to just sit back, relax, and get ready. Hey, Dominic, thanks for coming on.
Whoa, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank
all
you
right, so
yes, go ahead.
No problem. I saw your testimony on, I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife, right? Your wife reached out to me. I saw the video on YouTube, but I hadn't clicked on it yet. And then I saw an email from your wife, right, just sharing your story. And she said you never wanted to share, but she's like, you got to share. You got to share, right?
Yes.
And then look what's happening. God is using it, right?
Yes, definitely. Because at first, I didn't want to share it. For years, I didn't, you know. And I don't think, you know, I just think the Lord put it on my heart. Everything is on his timing, not on our timing. And I want people to realize that. Everything is on the Lord's timing. And it wasn't time for me years ago to share it because I wouldn't have been spiritually mature enough to handle all the things that are coming and the blessings that are coming from the testimony and the testimony, how it's touching others. So I just know that it was his timing, you know. But yeah, I was very reluctant to give my testimony, but I'm glad I did.
I want to go all the way back to your story, right, from the beginning. Sure.
Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. Grew up, you know, like I said, with a loving grandmother. She was the light of our family. You know, we had, you know, I mean, pretty much she tried to instill God in us, but the neighborhood that we were in, it wasn't fostering of God. It wasn't that way. You know, and my mom went through trauma. My father passed away at a younger age. And, you know, and my mom went down a dark road. She started to use drugs, unfortunately. And with that came for her neglecting me and my brother and sister in a lot of ways. You know, now that I look back on it, I'm kind of, you know, glad that she did neglect us, because I wouldn't have found God to this purpose, you know. And just to throw it out there, my mom has been sober for over 22 years now, so thank the Lord for that, you know. But just starting off growing up in Chicago, it was that environment is so hellish. A lot of the choices that you have is pretty much the only gang you're going to choose. That is, I mean, your choices are limited. Job opportunities are limited. So me growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up, our district has over 500,000 people just in our district alone. So it's always crowded. A lot of gang activity, drugs, and me not having a lot of different role models. And I did. I just didn't have the discernment to see the people around me that I should have followed. But I was more following the streets. You know, I was following more of the gang life. I wanted the money. I wanted the, you know what I mean? And also I was tired of struggling. So I wanted the fast way out. So by the time I was 12 years old, I joined a gang. I don't like to glorify it, so I won't name the gang that I joined because I don't want to give them no credit at all. You know, but I did join it's the infamous street gang that's all over the country that I joined. And I started selling drugs, you know. Instantly, I was good at that because one thing about me, I love school. School was always my place of peace. It kept my mind off my neighborhood. It kept my mind off everything. So when I went to school, it was just like peaceful to me. And I always loved to educate myself. So that was another thing that I realized God put inside me. But as soon as I got out of school, it's time to put on the war helmet. You know what I mean? It's a different feel to it. But I got pretty fast. I was very smart. So I was very intelligent in learning how to sell drugs. Moved up fast in the rankings because of my intelligence, but I was using my intelligence for the wrong things. You know, I used it for the dark side. Manipulation, you know, especially when it comes to the women, like I say, money, everything. It was just my whole focus and my aim was just totally off. Because in our culture, we're programmed to worship and idolize certain things. What quote makes you a man, you know what I mean? You know, and that's not the case. But I thought I was becoming a man. I thought me, you know, having a status in a gang, I thought me having money, you know, people being scared of me being to shoot guns, I thought that made me a man. And so the more I thought that, the more, of course, I was hungry and enticed to live that type of lifestyle.
There's one thing I wanted to touch on. You said when you were younger, some of your family members were involved in like Santeria, et cetera.
Oh,
and you saw something.
Definitely.
You saw something when you were a young boy. So tell us about that if you want to share it. This ceremony thing, if you want to go into it.
Well, there are ceremonies in Santeria in the culture, you know, Cuban culture, Latin culture, Dominican culture. They're called sweats, okay? And when I was younger, I went to a sweat, and that's where they pinch a tent, and they burn hot stoves, and you pretty much almost naked. And the whole intention is to give all the spirits a chance to come through you and in you. And that's why I knew the spirit realm was real. That's how I knew demons were real. But when I was young, I didn't know those were demons. Well, you're packed. I was packed inside this tent, and they're praying to. Okay, one thing I want people to know. In Santeria, there are nine principalities, okay? And these nine principalities are the principalities that run the whole world. And what happens is each year, at the end of each year, they shift different places. So each principality takes over a new territory on the earth. And when this happens, you give praise and worship to these new principalities that shift positions. And a lot of people, when we have these sweats, it's in honor of the new principality ushering in that new principality that's coming in over a certain territory. Okay, now on this occasion, I was in the sweat, a ceremony, and there were just tons of just rocks. It's an altar, okay? It's a form of an altar, but it's an altar. And, you know, you get to a point of it, and everyone's chanting. I don't want to say those names because people don't realize when you say these demonic names, they actually can come into your life from your portal. So I'm just going to say one of these principalities were being ushered in to the sweat ceremony, to the ritual. And as I'm looking, there was an altar, and this altar of hot stones, that's what gives off the heat to make everybody sweat. But this stone, the smoke that was coming from it started to become solid. Okay? Now, as I'm looking at it becoming solid, it started to form of the shape of a body. You can start to see the legs, the upper body, the arms. And I'm looking like, wait a minute, am I seeing? I had to kind of focus my eyes, but the more I'm looking at it, this thing is solidifying. It's becoming solid, okay? And now you can start clearly see a form of a young, beautiful lady. I mean, one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. But she just started manifesting into a solid form, okay? Even then you can start to see the color. She had a white robe on. She was pretty much like my complexion, maybe a little darker, long, silky hair, but she completely formed out of smoke. And one thing, yes, this is
into a real body, into a physical body,
physical body. Okay. And one of the high priestesses that came up grabbed her hand, and she stepped out of from the smoke down, and they said, "Welcome, sister. Thank you for coming and joining us today." But I was so petrified that I squirmed my way through this ceremony and just took off running. I mean, I took off. Yeah, I couldn't even, because it's a, it reminds me of the same fear. Spiritual fear and physical fear are two different elements.
Mm.
It's way more magnified. That's why some people can who get haunted by demonic forces and things, it's a different terror. It's not even fear. It's outside the realm of regular fear that we experience here on Earth. It's outside this dimension. That's why it's more powerful.
Okay.
So that was just one incident, and we could talk more about that. But
you were a little boy at this time. Like, how old were you at this time?
I was 9 years old.
Okay. Okay. So let's fast forward back to gang life. You're doing all that, right?
Yes.
Your wife also said that you were just searching for religions, like searching for truth. You know,
yes,
looking into different things.
Yeah, my family can vouch for that. I was. It just always had a compelling to form with God. That's why I was Muslim. I was a Black Hebrew Israelite. You know, like I said, Santeria, New Age movement. I did so much research over the years trying to find him. And the funny part was he was with me the whole time. While I was out there looking for all of these things, that's what people don't realize. While you're out there searching and trying to search, whenever you have an inkling to find him, that means he's already found you.
Okay. You know what I mean? He's right. They're just waiting for you.
So he's already there. So
Did you look into Christianity?
I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was I'm just being honest. This is just, I'm keeping 100 as we say. I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was just a fear tactic. I thought it was just used to manipulate and control people. I thought it was a European white man's religion. You know what I mean? Come to find out, actually, it's an ancient African religion. It started, you know, but that's a whole nother story. It was never a European religion, but that's what the enemy puts on our mind, because we're so used to just searching the details on things. We lose the message on things. We want to know the scientific principles of things, the historical facts, the archaeological principles, instead of the spiritual message that's come in that package. So that's another tactic to throw you off from getting to the message. And so you argue and debating with people on the outside of things, you never get his message. So that's why I want people to be careful with overanalyzing the historical facts of things. We know mankind and man tampered with things. We know this. We know the man tampered with the scriptures. I don't know how many times. That's why there's so many different versions. But when you have discernment, you only can water down God's word so much. But once you have true discernment, you can see instantly his power is still in the scriptures, no matter who try to manipulate. Man only can do so much to God's word. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there. Yeah.
So we're coming up to the moment now where you were shot, right? And then you had the experience, right? Lead us up to the moment where you got shot, and then what happened after that?
Sure. It was 2009. By then, I had some money, and, you know, every weekend we go to the clubs. We go to the clubs looking for girls. We're smoking some weed. We're drinking in their life, right? So for us, it's a tradition to go get new clothes. You go to the club, you got to have a new outfit. So me and my friend, we're going to go shopping during the day. We go shopping, but I kept seeing this one guy, okay? First, we went to the clothing store. I come out. He's sitting on his car. And there's something in my spirit says, something is not right about this guy. But I looked at him. He said, what's up? He said, okay, what's up? We go to another store. I come out. He's outside the second store, way on the other side of our district. Just like it's no way you can keep running to the same person. So I thought it was, wait a minute. Now my spirit really was tugging on me. Like, something is up with this guy. So again, I looked and he's sitting on his car outside of the store. So I tapped my friend and said, hey, man, this man is following us. This guy. And my friend laughed. He was like, dude, you're not that important. Nobody following you, man. Quit it. Nobody. You're nobody to be thinking about. Stop it. You're paranoid. Okay, I brushed it off. So later on, I come out 2 or 3 hours later. We're dressed. I'm ready to go out. I come outside the building. Guess who's standing there? The same guy. So this time I said, okay, I'm about to question this guy. Ask him, do I know him from somewhere? Where is he from? You know what I mean? Because enough is enough at this point. My spirit is telling me I need to find out what's going on. As I'm walking and approaching the guy, he had a cigar in his mouth. And he said, do you have a light, a lighter on you? I said, yeah. And so as I'm reaching in my pocket, I saw a green flash. It's the first thing I really remember. It was a green flash, okay? Now, it just seems like, I don't know if, things go in slow motion. You know, when your body experiences traumatic experiences, mm-hmm. You either black out or time slows down for you, okay? And I'm noticing how God put that in as a safety mechanism for your body, for us, so we won't be over-traumatized by the experience. But as I look up, I smell, I don't know if you know either with matches. Like mm-hmm. if you were to burn a whole book of matches, like the sulfuric smell.
Yeah.
That's what I smell. But as I look up to him, and he hit me again. Wow, again. So now I'm looking at him, but he has this look on his face, and it was demonic. But it was like a I got you look, like a, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The second time I fall back, as soon as I'm falling back, I feel myself falling forward.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. I'm falling back, but yet I can feel myself falling forward and instantly. It was instantaneous. It was just like that. I was in darkness. But like I described before, this darkness is not a darkness like here on earth. It's not like you can blindfold yourself, like you can put yourself underneath the earth, super blindfold yourself and dig deeper. And it's still, this darkness is alive. You understand? It had a spiritual component to it. To where I felt that it was all over me, like it was holding me. But as I'm falling down, I can't even calculate the speed. But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. Meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. Okay? I want people to be aware. Don't take anything for granted. Because as I was falling, it's beyond, like I was saying before, at first, the terror is not fear, it's terror, and it's alive. It is really, it's a spirit. It's alive in that place. In the darkness, it's alive. It was alive. It was like the darkness had a consciousness of its own, and it was stripping me of everything good. So as I'm falling, I mean, it's so fast, and I can't even think clear, but I'm falling because people don't understand. Just say, for example, if you're here conscious, like we're talking right now, we're communicating, and then all of a sudden you're taken to another, just a whole other place instantly. It's instantaneous. There's no slow build up to it. There's no nothing there. It's boom, okay? And I'm falling, and I'm feeling this fear, but the speed of the fallingness, I can't even explain it in words, no matter what language, no matter what. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual component to everything. Now that in hindsight, the more that I'm mature in my spirit, I'm realizing that it is all spiritual. The spiritual life, I was in my spiritual body, okay? I'm falling. Now, the first thing that hit me was this smell. The smell. You see, people don't understand. I'm going to explain it again. When you pass away, you don't lose your five senses. Sight, hear, touch, taste. No. They heightened. They get more potent. So they raise times a million. So you become more sensitive. They don't go anywhere. They get stronger. Mm-hmm. So like if you were to smell this smell right now, the smell that I was smelling, there's no way your body would be able to take it here on this earth. Mm-hmm. There's no sewer, no dead bodies, no dead animals, rotting flesh. There's nothing that can compare to this smell. Okay? It is so bad. It is but as I'm falling, just like it's just overwhelming, the smell. And then all of a sudden I see a little light. It's a little light, because this darkness is so dark you can see the light on a like a top of a pinhead. It's bright mm-hmm. compared to this darkness. So to see mm-hmm. that little light, I'm thinking, but as I'm going, I'm falling, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Then all of a sudden I felt heat. I can feel heat coming from this light. But I wasn't even so, now that I'm looking at it, I wasn't even paying attention to the heat because I was so scared. I'm smelling this smell, but I'm starting to see it looking like a big portal. But this portal looked like it was rocks, okay? And so I'm going to explain to people. Hell is here on earth, but it's in a different dimension, okay? Just like when I start learning scientific principles on different dimensions, it makes complete sense. Just like I'm sitting here right now, but there are different frequencies going through me that I can't even see, like microwaves, radio waves, all types of things, but they're vibrating on a different frequency. So you can have two places in one space because of different dimensions. So hell is on earth, but it's in a different dimension. All right? Yes. So now as I'm falling and I'm seeing this portal and it's open, as it opened, now I'm pretty much right then I can see every detail. Now remember, your senses are heightened. You can see a molecule if you wanted to, if you focus and zoom in on it. I mean, that's how pinpoint accurate your senses are in a spiritual body. Now I'm looking, and it's rocks, like stones, ancient rocks, caverns, but I fall through, and I hit the bottom. Now when I hit the bottom...
So the opening is like rocks.
Yes.
Like a circular...
It's like,
okay.
It's like you're entering the cave system.
Okay.
It's like I was falling into an ancient cave system. That's the best way I can describe it. But the rocks were glowing. Everything on the rocks was so hot. They were like yellow, orange, white. They were hot. They were so heated. That's the little light that I was seeing. When I got there, I knew exactly that was that opening. So when I hit the bottom, I mean, I slammed so hard. But I didn't even feel that pain like that. Because when I tried to move, I was so more worried. I was like... I was just panicking so bad. I tried to move and I couldn't move the way we move here. It felt like I was wearing a big heavy suit, like I was weighed like 900 pounds. So just like I'm moving my arms now and I can do this and that. No. First of all, you feel like instantly I felt I had no energy. I had no energy. And what that was, now that I realize, is that we're so used to being in our physical body. We're so used to things of our physical nature, like I couldn't breathe. When I was trying to breathe, it was like the look, like I couldn't even breathe. It's because I wasn't breathing in the first place. There's no oxygen in that place. But we're so used to being here, just like we're breathing now, we're unconsciously breathing. So I thought I was trying to breathe. So that makes my anxiety there even worse because you're so used to being in this flesh. You think you have fleshly movement. It doesn't work that way. You're stripped of everything. Remember, you're stripped of everything God gave you. So even having movement, even that comes from God. See, we don't realize that. Even breathing and just feeling, that comes from God. But that was stripped. You get stripped of all of that by the time you make it there.
Were you thinking about outside at all? Or you weren't even thinking about the earth?
No.
You were just focused on this place?
Yeah. You're so petrified. You're so scared. You're not thinking about anything here. You're not thinking about a person. You're not thinking, at that moment, you're not thinking about anything. I was so shocked. And going through, and the fear and the anxiety and just everything, you're not thinking, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're not thinking about any of those things.
So when you realize where you were, what happened next?
I'm trying to get up. And it was so dark. See, it was just as dark. But all of a sudden, the only thing that illuminated that place, the first thing I saw before me were these pits. And they were like, flames were coming up. And then you can see when these flames come up, that's how you can see. But when the first pit lit up, I saw... It had to be thousands, as far as your eye can see, of these pits. And they were connected in rows, but they would go so far, like, I mean, it had to be miles and miles and miles of these pits. But inside these pits, there were people, okay? But what really caught my attention, before I describe the people in the pits, were these beasts around all the pits. They were like giants. Some of them were like, and they all had a reptilian kind of theme to them. They all looked like reptile. Nasty, deformed. Some of them had long arms, short arm with a long arm, bodies. But the ones, the giants that I saw, some of them had to be like 13 to 18 feet tall. I mean, huge. I'm talking about ripped up muscles, huge. I mean, they
like
were
humanoid. Were they humanoid?
Humanoid,
like,
yes. They had legs. They had arms. They had, you know, chest muscles. They were very humanoid, but not even close to humans. Not even. They were so ugly. And the smell that I was smelling, they stink. It was them. It was them. Like, Yeah, they stink. They horrible smell to them. Horrible smell. And a lot of them smell like sulfur too. Like, that's why a lot of people who I've talked to who had experiences with demons, they always smell like a sulfuric smell. They stink. They smell bad. They smell, they're horrible. But then I also saw demons as tall as this pen. They're small. You got some, they all sizes, all shapes, all sizes. But they had, some of them had red eyes. Some of them had yellow eyes with the slits in them. You know, and some of their skins were scaly. Like I said, they had that reptile, like the reptilian type look. But some of them didn't have the reptile look. Some of them were just so deformed and ugly, hairy. It just didn't make sense. Some of them were just so disproportionate, it didn't make any sense.
Did they notice you when you fell?
No, not right away. Not right away. One of them did. And that's how I look back, because I never saw the Lord. I never saw the Lord. But now that I look back, he had to be with me to be protecting me. Because the hatred that they have for us, it is beyond description. It is beyond words. They hate. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. If their hatred was in the form of a weapon, here on earth, you would die. You would die. They hate. When I say hate, hate is an understatement. Hate would feel like love compared to the hatred that they have for us. Literally. Yeah. But as I looked at the pits and the people, some of them were like charred skeletons, charred, burned up skeletons. Some of them had flesh hanging off of them. Okay. And the thing is, they were trying to crawl out. And now, I mean, because once you get there, you know that you know. You know. You know pretty much everything. You can see a person in hell and know why they're there. There's no time there. There's no time that you have to take to learn, because everything is connected. So you know that you know. And they were there to guard the people from coming out the pit. They had these spears and these ancient things, and people were trying to crawl out. They were sticking them, grabbing them, especially the big giant grabbing them and throwing them right back into the pits and the lava. I mean, and then what got me, though, like I was saying before, I forgot to mention, was the screams. The screams and the yells, okay? It moves your spirit. The sense of the way these people were screaming and in agony and the regret and the pain, it is beyond comprehension. Even right now as we speak, that place is going on right now. And that's what reminds me every day. It's happening right now as we speak. People are there right now. And it's so many people. It's so many people. But as I'm trying to get up and I look, and I'm looking at these pits, and I'm just, now I thought I was already scared and full of anxiety. Now it's just beyond. It keeps growing. There's no limit to fear in the spiritual realm. Just when you think, okay, I'm maxed out of my anxiety. I'm maxed out of my, no. It keeps growing, and it doesn't stop. There's no limit to how fearful you become. You know, I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head, and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. And when it threw me, I mean, the strength of this thing, it was like me picking up this pen and throwing this pen. It was like it was nothing. So I don't care what people say. Oh, I will go in down there and I'll fight. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not happening. I don't care if you're the strongest man on earth. You have nothing.
It's like you had no control, right? You have no control.
You have no control. You have no strength. It's like you didn't eat in months. You don't have no nutrients, no kind of muscle, none of that. That's out the window. That comes from God. And everything, that's not there. So you can try your best if you want to, and it's nothing going to happen. So as I got pulling, I got hit this wall. But now as I noticed, as I once again, Lord had to be with me, because I didn't feel, because of the force that I was thrown, I would have felt, I knew I was going to feel the pain. Because one thing I'm going to explain to everyone, like I explained before, my testimony is that here on the body, we have a nervous system, right? So if I was to touch you and just pinch your hand, you would feel it only on your hand. In the spirit world, there is no such thing. If you get hit in the hand, you feel it through your whole body simultaneously at the same time. You won't feel it just in an isolated place where you got pinched. You will feel it all at one time. From your head.
The pain also is more intense as well.
By a million. By a million. And that's an understatement. See, because the spiritual world is way, people don't understand. Everything here physical is the leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why the Lord said your thoughts are more realer. That's why you get judged by your thoughts. Because that's what the real is. It's not, your action is just a reflex of your thoughts. So now I know what the Lord means by that, because the spiritual is way more realer than this. Everything here physical is leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why I say the pain is more real. Your senses are more heightened. Everything is more intense, way more intense. Okay. Now that's why I say when I got flung and I saw, I knew the Lord was there with me, is because I didn't feel, I expected so much more pain, but it wasn't, I felt pain, but it wasn't what I knew in my mind, where I was calculating that it should be. But as I look up, I'm on the side and it's like a stone mountain. But in the mountain were jail cells, rows and rows of these cells as far as your eye can see up. Like, and I grew up in skyscrapers my whole life, and I know what it is to live in the sky, literally. But these things were so high, like they were built into the side of a mountain, and there were rows and rows of cells, like the old cells, not like the modern-day jails with the door with the slit. No, the bars, and they look ancient, rusty. But instantly I knew. All of a sudden, I start looking, and you can see people, activities, and all of these different cells. And then it would be like 3 feet apart, it'd be stones, another cell. Stones, another cell. Stone, 3 feet apart, like this estimating. Three to
and all the way up.
All the way up. The same way I saw the pit all the way going across, these were all the way up as far as my eyes can see, literally. Like, I couldn't even see it no more, but you can still see cells, cells, cells. And instantly I knew these were ancient. I knew that the people were in there were there for thousands of years. Thousands of years. I mean, I'm talking about biblical times. They've been in there since. You know, people can't even imagine, because time, see, like we're so used to time here. You can't imagine no time. There is no time there. Time stops. There is no time in the spirit world. It doesn't exist. Time is only used in the physical manifestation for us to organize things and keep schedules. It doesn't exist. All hope is gone when you're there. There is no, at least, like, for example, I was explaining. Back when I used to live my back life, because I did go to jail a couple of times. I was in jail, okay? I had hope because I had an out date, right? So you say, okay, I'm getting released in 8 months. That gives you some hope that I'm getting out of here in 8 months. But when you're in hell, there is no out date. There is no time. There is nothing to, no schedule. There is none that's gone. You know you're there. And the worst part is, I knew I deserved to be there. That was the thing that really got me. I had no rebuttals for me not being there. Okay?
So you weren't crying for mercy. You weren't calling out to God. Nothing like that? No?
No. No. And that's another thing. See, the people don't understand. The things that I were hearing, you had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Please, I'm sorry. Let me make it up so you can hear everything. That's another thing I want to add. Remember I was talking about the 5 senses being heightened? You can hear everybody screaming at one time, but you can individualize every person. You can individualize every scream. You can individualize. But then I heard a lot of blasphemous things towards God. I heard a lot of anger. A lot of cursing God out. I heard a lot of, like, yeah, big time. People were angry.
Only people were making sounds. The demons weren't making any sounds, or whatever those creatures were.
Demons, were. Yeah. Oh, that was, I was going to get to that. When the demons were communicating with each other, they have their own language. And their whole language hurt my body every time they talked. Every time they talked.
So you never understood what they were saying?
Oh, yeah. You understand everything. I'm going to use the term. You overstand everything that they're saying. What they was communicating back and forth, they were calling us stupid humans. When they were grabbing and torturing humans and doing all types of things, they were calling us stupid and they were laughing. They love, they laugh, they enjoy. Because what I found out and what I saw myself through my experience is that they get energy off our pain. They eat it. It's a form of food to them. It's like a drug to them. They get high off of it. That's why they're here on Earth. They keep us depressed, angry, full of anxiety, because they're feeding off that. That's their food. They literally eat that. So they cause situations for you to feel that way so they can eat. They eat off that. And in hell, they have an abundance, nonstop supply of food, because all they do is torture. They say if your arm gets ripped off, Your arm will grow right back. Rejuvenate. And it happens over and over and over again. Like I say, I saw tons of people there where they were ripping over their mouth and pouring hot lava down their throats. They'll melt and they'll come right back and they'll do it all over again. And then they invite other demons to come and get their turn. Like I was also mentioning about promiscuous women who were there and men. But I saw my experience, I saw majority of what I saw were the women being raped by demons. This one lady was being raped and tortured so bad sexually that I'm not going to say it on here, but it's beyond horrible. But I'm talking about, yeah. Yeah, it's, and then some of the tortures are so bad, I still to this day, I can smell a certain smell, especially matches. I don't like the smell of matches at all because it brings me back to that. It reminds me of that. Yeah, it does. Like PTSD, big time. I don't like that. But
your wife said you said something about. I think it was in the last one I listened to. Actually, you said you saw pastors and people like that there. Could you explain?
Yes, you know what? And I saw and a lot of them were still dressed in suits. Okay, there was like a cavern, like a cave. And they were, a lot of them were just sitting there like they were waiting. Well, the demons would come in, especially the giant ones, and snatch them up and throw them in boxes. They were throwing these pastors in boxes. They had all types of stuff for them. They had all types of, like they had a field day with the pastors, the fake pastors. I'm going to be honest. A lot of them were just misusing their authority that God gave them. Okay? For one example, they threw this one pastor in a box. And it was an old, nasty box. But the box was filled with hot coals in it. So when they throw them in it and they close it, you can hear, I mean, the screams are beyond. Like, you can feel it. You can feel it's just the anguish and the pain. And they were throwing these things in them. They were stabbing this. They were ripping people apart. They were eating people, especially the pastors. They had a real, real good time with them. They were enjoying, like, really. A lot of people who I saw were part of the church. Like I said, you can look at somebody in hell and know why they're there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like if somebody was to look at me, they'll know why I was there.
The people that were in church, what were some of the sins that they did? Like that
I saw more gossipers in hell than anything from the church.
Wow.
Gossip, backstabbing, lust in the church, right? But the most of all was the gossip. Gossiping, because people don't understand the power of gossip. They don't understand how powerful it is, how you can hurt somebody's life for just, you know what I mean? It was so many people down there for gossiping, you know? They smile in your face, but then, oh, look at Sister Clark, or look at Brother So-and-so, but then you're in church praying with them instead of praying for them. See, when you talk about somebody's problem, you better have a solution. If not, it's gossip. Plain and simple. If you're going to talk about someone's problem, you better be willing to help that person. If not, don't talk about it and stay out of their business because that's serious. God doesn't play with gossip. And I saw that firsthand. God does not play when it comes to gossip.
And the pastors that were there, were they like fake pastors in the sense of like, what were they doing exactly? Like, did they do?
They were popcorn Christians. What I mean by popcorn Christianity is a term that me and my friends came up with is because they're okay. Like a popcorn kernel is hard, right? A kernel of popcorn. But when you apply heat to it, it puffs up and it turns soft. That's what they were. They were acting like they were really hardened for the Lord, that they were really solid. But then the heat and the pressures of the world turned them soft and they became worldly.
Okay.
And they're fake. They use the words. Yes. Mm. And a lot of them are, like I always say, intellectual parrots, meaning they know the scriptures. Inside and out. They sound good. They sound, but they don't live them. They don't live them. They fool the people. That's why I tell the people, it's not up to the pastor or your deacon or your bishop to establish your personal relationship with the Lord. That's up to you because a relationship with the Lord is ultra personal. It's not their responsibility. And you can be, even the Lord says, don't follow a man because you never know who you are following. So why they think, oh, yeah, brother told me to do this or sisters told me to do this. And yeah, they're a man or woman of God. They lead you right to hell.
Wow.
Because you don't have.
I heard you said unforgiveness, too. You said unforgiveness, too. Right?
I was going to mention that next. The top two. The top one is gossip. The next one is unforgiveness. You know how many people say, I forgive, but I won't forget? That's not forgiveness. See, when God forgives us, is deleted from the universe. It's gone. He doesn't remember, clearly doesn't remember. You can try to say, hey, Lord, remember I did this? He's going to say, what are you talking about? Because it's been deleted from his heart. We don't do that. We say we forgive you and still have in the back of our mind reservations and judge that person and still kind of say, I'm just going to, you know. And what? And I saw so many people there for that. See, people don't understand. Yeah, we unqualify and disqualify ourselves from going to paradise. Paradise in heaven cannot have 1 ounce of filth in it. If so, you will corrupt it. So that's why we need the Lord as a mediator to make sure he washes us from that. Because we're all imperfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have flaws. But our relationship with him and his grace, he washes us clean from that so we can enter paradise. Because you cannot have one blemish on you. It's like if you have a fresh basket of apples and you put one in with a little mold on it, what's going to happen to the rest of those apples?
The whole bunch is going to be spoiled.
Exactly. So therefore, we disqualify ourselves from getting into heaven because we're so blemished. And then we think we can do it on our own. We can't do it without him. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves the way we need to be cleansed to be on that frequency of heaven. So we disqualify ourselves all the time.
Some people would say, well, you know what, once you're covered, and, you know, like the pastor, for instance, he's okay, even if he messed up, you know, like he's covered past, present, future sin, and the other gossipers or people, unforgiveness is
right.
Fine, because you're covered.
Sure.
And that's something that people say. Like, I saw another testimony of a pastor in Africa, very, very gripping health testimony. Mm-hmm. He said it was unforgiveness that caused him to go to hell.
See? And that's what I'm saying. And those who say that, they obviously don't read the scriptures. Because clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, if you commit a sin and you know thereof that it's a sin, there is no sacrifice that can save you. See, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. So all that once saved, always saved, that comes from the pits of hell itself. It's a lie. It's a lie. If that's the case, I might as well go back to the life I used to live. I got saved, so I might as well just go, let's go kick it, man. You know, hey, let's go have fun. Let's go do what we need to do then.
Those are fighting words, right? Because
yeah.
In hell testimonies, you always have people in the comment section that talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about it. Even when I shared my outer darkness experience. So when you spoke about the little pin, the light, I saw that. My thing was just this pitch black place that looks like a cave, right? I found myself in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, just like you said, the hopelessness, there was a palpable sense of, as you said, you cannot get out. You know that
yeah.
You're stuck there forever.
Yes.
And this hopelessness was beyond anything I can describe. And when I realized where I was, I cried out for Jesus, and then I saw a little light, like a little pinprick of light,
mm-hmm.
way out in the distance, and I bolted to it. And when I jumped to the light, that's when I leaped out of like my bed, and that was it's a very traumatic experience for me. Like, so I understand.
Yes,
some of the
things
I never experienced what you experienced. But I got a little glimpse of the outer darkness, and that was enough for me to understand that it's not something to be messed with. And
yes.
I was a Christian.
Right.
Right. I was a believer at the time, but I was lukewarm.
Yep.
I was a lukewarm believer at the time. But continuing from, you saw the bars, and you saw people inside the bars, and the ancient, like some people from like way back when.
Yeah,
continuing
from ancient
there.
Persia all over. You can clearly see, you can clearly tell, like these things and these people were just there for thousands and thousands of years. Even the garbs they were wearing, some of them were skeletons. Some of them, like I said, were just like ancient. But the color of their flesh was like a smoky gray darkness. It wasn't, you can't tell what race they were only by their features. But they were from all over. But they were very, very ancient. And I knew they were there for astrology, witchcraft. It's like the whole, all of them were there for worshiping other gods, worshiping Baal, worshiping demons. Like all of this was like a dedicated section to ancient, those ancient ones who were worshiping other false gods and then led other people to worship false gods. See, it's one thing that when you sin alone, cool, that's bad enough. But when you bring others to sin with you, when you become contagious and you're sinning, it's way worse. You have way worse judgment that falls upon your head. So that's what I say. Hey, if people make your own choice, but don't bring nobody with you. Don't make nobody fall with you because you're going to be held accountable, not only for yours, but for theirs as well.
So what was some of the regret? Like some of the things that they were saying, like, you know, like that they were sorry about, stuff like that. Regret.
This is it because I had the regrets. I had the review. I call it the great review Because it comes a moment when you're in there where he shows you every detail, every conversation that you heard someone that you didn't even see, and how that causes a ripple effect in their life. Every bad thing I did, from even stealing a candy bar when I was 7 years old, to every detail that you ever did. Now, I don't know if people remember, in the Bible it says your own flesh will testify against you. See? So my own flesh was testifying against me to me. And that's when I had the feeling that I have no right to get out of here. That's when I had the feeling that, you know what, I deserve this. That was when I came with a feeling, overwhelming feeling, where it hit me that, dang, I deserve to be here. There's no way I'm getting out of here, because you have so many people screaming, please, let me make it up to her, or let me make it up to him. Give me one more chance to go stay. You know, like, it was just so many things of regret that they wish they can do one more time to make things up to people. The things that they said to people, the things they physically did to people, the things that they stole from people, the thoughts that they were thinking about people, the gossip that they did someone and made someone lose their job or lose their reputation because of gossip. Even false gossip is even worse. When you just make up things about somebody because you're jealous of them. There's a lot of people, the spirit of jealousy. See, hell is very organized, and people don't realize this. Hell is so organized. It has a spirit for everything. A spirit for everything that you think is just you. No, a lot of the times, okay, I'm going to say this loud and clear. Everyone is accountable, okay? Your flesh, you're accountable for your own actions. So I'm not going to blame everything on demons. I'm not going to blame everything on the devil, because we do have accountability and responsibility for ourselves. But what I am saying is, they don't have the power to make you do anything. But what they do, they're great manipulators and they're great influencers. So they, and your flesh by default will go with the choice of the demons by default, because your flesh is so weak. So they know how to manipulate your flesh to make these decisions. You see them? You see what I mean? So people need to realize that. But back to answering your question, the most thing, like I said, that I was hearing them say is they just want one more chance to get it right. They want one more opportunity to make things right, you know? And it was just like, some of them are asking for 30 seconds to be on the earth. I don't know what somebody can accomplish in 30 seconds, but I mean, they're asking for time. They're just asking, can I just go tell this person, I'm sorry what I did to my mother. I'm sorry what I did to, like, you know what I mean? You know, it's just, yeah, it's just so many voices on so many different levels. And all we have to do is apply our own experience to answer that question. But I don't want to wait again till I pass away again to make anything right with someone. We need to do it right now while you're here on this earth.
Amen. What happened after the bars, right? Because I remember you said you were on a cliff after or something like that.
Yeah, that was towards the end. I'm just going to wrap it. Yeah, because this is towards the end. It was a lot more in between that. But we can, maybe another time, God willing, I can come on a platform and explain. But I was on a cliff, okay, and it was people on the right side, people on the left side. But when I looked, it was a desolate forest. And it was a path in the forest. But these trees, it wasn't a regular forest. These trees were dead. These trees, it was just like a dead forest. And it was black sands, black and gray sands. Okay? But when I looked further up, that's when I felt this place. That whole time, I was in hell, but I call it pre-hell. But when I saw that place with these gates, I mean, it had to be 80 feet tall, 50 to 80 feet tall gates, old rock, stone castles. I knew that was hell. I knew for a fact, if I passed those gates, I'm not coming back. And so as I'm standing on the cliff, and that's why I want to tell people, when you're in hell, there's no fellowship. That's why this part, I want to make it clear that the Lord obviously gave us the opportunity, because there was a long line of people in these chains, okay? And they were coming, and they were walking on this path, but each on the side of them, like guards, almost like prison guards. But they were demons, just some of them big, some of them walking, so these people wouldn't try to run off the path. And they were marching in towards the gates, to their gates. But one person noticed and looked up. Now I'm thinking that the person noticed the Lord behind us. But then gave them an opportunity to start screaming towards us, don't come here. Don't. They were screaming in all different languages, and I'm looking at the people on this side, looking at the people on this side of the cliff, and they were screaming, don't. They were, like, giving us utter warnings. Like, don't, please. They were begging to not come. And when you can feel the sincerity and the fear and the terror Like, it is beyond. Just by looking at that place and hearing them, I knew. I said, my next step is I'm about to be down there in that chain gang, heading on that path. But all of a sudden, it was just like the same force of a swish, because around when I went to different compartments in hell, it was like I was teleporting. It was boom, boom. He was taking me. So now I know that was the Lord showing me. But all of a sudden, I felt that same back. But when I came, I got slammed into my body. And I was in the hospital. Okay.
How long did it feel like it was? You said it's timeless, right? But how long did it feel? Did it feel like you were there for a long time?
I feel like I was there for months. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months.
Like Earth months, like our months. It felt
our months here on Earth. It felt like, wow, I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow. So your wife said you were pronounced clinically dead.
Minutes and 47 seconds.
What was the most memorable thing maybe that happened during that time in hell when you were being, you know, shown different things that you want to share?
What sticks out to me, all of it to me was equally, but what sticks out in my mind was, I call it the human shish kebab, where the giants were taking these big rusty poles, and they were taking humans, and they were taking them from underneath, and they were putting them on these poles, like four or five at a time, and then they were carrying them around. Like, they put these spears through them. These spears are huge, and they would take the body, and they would poke you through, and they would stuff you, and they would stuff another one on top of you, and they would stuff another one. While you're screaming and moving, and then they'll pick you up, and I don't even know where they were carrying them. But to me, I still even get visual. I still visualize it. I can still feel it. I can still smell the atmosphere. But to me, you know, besides the females getting raped, the men's getting their genitals cut off, the sexual torture, and I call it the human shish kebab torture, to me, it really, 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 those are the two that really stick out to me, really much so.
So in terms of senses, right? So I want to give people like a sense of maybe like what is it, like a dazed feeling, like you're in like a dream like state, or is it like very vivid, or do you feel like, or you feel now like how what's it like a dream state?
Have
or?
You ever had a dream? See, there's a difference between dreams and messages. Have you ever had a dream where when you first wake up, you're glad to be here, and you look and say, "Whew, I'm glad that was just a dream." So imagine that type of feeling magnetized times a thousand. It's more realer than me experiencing talking to you right now.
Wow.
It's even hard. Like I say, there's certain emotions that I feel and we feel as human beings on a daily basis that you can't even put into words, right? The descriptive part, I'm just getting close to it as I can, because there's some things that I can't even fathom to put in a human language, any language. There's no words. Because everything there is so impactful, so powerful, is energy. I can't even calculate how people, yeah.
And some people say it's fake, right? And that's the thing. When I read those comments, I feel, I'm just like, man, like, what do you have to say to people who don't believe? Like, people who hear stuff like this and they're like, oh, it's fake.
But guess
what? What do you say to them?
The demons love that. The demons are clapping because the fact is they don't want you to believe so you can get there. See, hell does not need your belief. Hell doesn't need you. Actually, it don't want you to believe. Because how can you fight an enemy that you don't believe exists? That means you already lost. So they want you. So listen, my job is just to deliver a message. I don't debate my experience. I don't have to debate it. Because one thing we all have in common as human beings, we're all going to die. I'm just telling you. The Lord told me I don't have to debate anything. My job is just to tell you my experience, my testimony. People can do what they want to do with it. But I'm just telling you, like, for example, if you're in Japan right now, if you come to the United States and say, you know, the jails in the United States are not real, well, go break the law. Watch what's going to happen. The jail that's waiting for you don't need you to believe in it. Mm. It's sitting there waiting for you. It's a cell with your name on it, your little cot with your name on it. It don't need you to believe in it. So people who I want to say that, they don't want you to believe. So I ask you, I don't, you know, like I tell people all the time, there's 1.8 and some more million gods that are worshipped on this earth, okay? Why is it that our Lord and our Father God, especially Jesus Christ, is the only one picked on? Why is he the only one mocked? Why is he the only one out of 1.8 million known gods that are worshipped, why is he the only one made into a curse word? Why is he the only one so disrespected? Because he's the truth. That's why. Plain and simple. I don't argue no more with people. I don't have to. They take his salvation. They take his messages. But, oh, trust me, everybody's going to be held accountable. I'm not here to scare anyone. But one thing that, especially in the Proverbs says, fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God.
Fear of God, yeah.
The
yeah.
fear of God is the beginning. So if it scares you enough to at least research yourself, what do you have to lose by praying and say, hey, show me. Show me, Lord. If you're really real, show me that you're real. What do you have to lose? But for all the naysayers, hey, that's your, hey, I don't violate your free will just like our Lord. I'm not here to force you to believe. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing on the message. Like the UPS man, what does he do? He delivers your package and he leaves. Whatever you do with the package is up to you. That's it.
So I know we're kind of wrapping up, but I want you to talk about when you came back. You came back into your body. I want mm-hmm. you to talk about that and then how you actually met Jesus and, you know, became a pastor, et cetera. I want that mm-hmm. part of the story as well.
Yeah, well, when I came back into my body, like I said, it felt disgusting. I felt horrible. I felt like I was wearing it. It felt like if you put on, like, three outfits that were dipped in cold water, that's the best way I can describe it. It felt like I was literally wearing my body. I was wearing it like I'm wearing an outfit, and I felt nasty. And it took a while for me to get rid of that, for a couple of weeks for me to get rid of that nasty feeling, because I was, yeah, it's weird. But
so you were in the hospital when you woke up in the hospital, or
mm-hmm. yeah, I was in the hospital, and the nurses were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out because they pretty much just gave up. They were wrapping it up. I can tell the machines were outside. They were just pretty much wrapping everything up, like, because I was done. It was.
So where were you shot? Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
Twice. In my abdomen. Okay. That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me. I may have to have an upcoming. So those who are believers, you can pray. My surgery goes well. I really appreciate that, because I have to have some bullet fragments removed from my intestines, from my small intestines still, because they're starting to rust and iodize in my stomach. So, yeah.
And your wife said that they said you wouldn't walk, but you started walking miraculously.
I still, even to this day, I still have complications of walking, but they told me I wouldn't walk again correctly. I wouldn't walk at all. Now I'm walking right now. You know, I still walk with a limp. It still hurts when the weather changes. A lot of people know what that means. Like when it rains, when it snows, it's a lot of tremendous pain because I have permanent nerve damage. But that's better than being paralyzed. So thank the Lord. He gave me the ability. I'm walking again. So, yeah, but they told me I would never walk again. So
we're going to pray indeed,
yep.
right? So
yeah.
So you got up on the bed. You were probably screaming, telling them. She said that you said, like, yeah, you were screaming, and then.
I was screaming. Like, I didn't. First of all, the same way, just as fast as I left, was just as fast as I came back. Two different dimensions, like, two, boom. After that, swoosh, and it was pink, pink, and I was so beyond confused is an understatement, okay? But looking at the nurse's face made me more scared, because she was looking at me with, and she ran out the room. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, and I was scared, and I didn't want to go back, so I'm screaming, don't let me go back. Please, don't, somebody, no, help. What's going on? Like, don't let me go back, because I can even still hear in my heart, in my mind, I can still smell hell. I can still, you know, so me being there, I just thought any second now I was going to be taken back there.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? It's the most scariest feeling ever, you know.
Did you share it with anyone? Did you share the story when you got up afterwards, or you kept it to yourself for many years?
I kept it to myself for a minute, you know. I honestly, I truly did, because first of all, it took a while for me to even grasp. That's how serious it is. That's how powerful it is. It took so long for me to even digest it. And it had the opposite effect at first. It gave me post-traumatic stress syndrome, with a disorder, I mean, to the point where I started drinking more when I came back because of that hell experience. It had the reverse effect at first. It wasn't like the Lord, I came from hell and all of a sudden I was just with the Lord. No. It had the reverse effect at first. I was so traumatized by it, it led me to drinking more. Even after the experience I experienced, you would think I would have woken up and just said, hey, no more. No. It made me very scared of a lot of things, different noises. Like I say, even to this day, I can't stand the smell of those matches. I can't do it. I can't, it just really brings me right back, you know. And that's why it took me a long time to come out, because the Lord had to give me the energy and the strength to even rehash this story. Because just thinking about it, that's how horrible it is. I had to have, this is his strength for me to be able to explain this without me having anxiety problems. Because just remembering, I can see it. I can still smell the smells. I can still just, you know, so I know it's him helping me tell this story. But how, yeah, go ahead.
So how did you now move from that place to actually becoming a believer? And I think your wife, did you also have a degree as well, like a pastoral degree? So talk to us about when you decided to start a ministry and follow Jesus, like fully.
Well, yeah, a couple of years ago, I did get my pastoralship. It was like 3.5 years ago, National Christian Church University. But see, only reason why I did that is because I already started my street ministry a long time ago. It had no name. It had nothing. I was just out there trying to preach the word, okay? And what I had to get my credentials for, which I thought was to be able, because I wanted to speak at other jails, I wanted to speak around, but they said, where's your credentials? I'm like, wait a minute, why do I have to have credentials? I got credentials. I'm a believer. See, that's how I know this system is fake. You know, did Paul and them have credentials? Right? Did the apostles and the disciples? No, they didn't. Their credentials was their experience. But now these days, yeah, let me see these documents. So I got it just to appease so I can go to different jails and go to different things. And roughly, we just started this full ministry, I would say roughly about, what is it, 6 months ago, 5 to 6 months ago, am I correct? Yeah, about 5, 6 months ago to start going. Because before that, I was still, we were out on the streets praying, passing out Bibles. But then the Lord put it on my heart, just like he put it on my heart. Now it's time for you to give your testimony. It's time for you to organize this now so you can bring more sheep into the fold. So now you can do more things and get the word out there.
How long after you had the experience, you started street ministry and started to say, you know what, I'm going to take this seriously and start evangelizing, etc.?
It took about a good 14 years.
Wow. So 14 years before you started street ministry?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole time, were you grappling with your relationship with Jesus? You were trying to figure things out. What happened between that time?
He was building his relationship with me. I started to change instantly. I mean, I started to notice the change in my attitude, the people I was hanging with. So I started to see the instant changes. I definitely started to change. But people don't understand. The same way there are different levels of fear in hell, there's different levels of purity and maturity in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See? And also, I learned from experience, you only rise as high as your faith, okay? You only rise and you're only as powerful as your faith, okay?
Yeah.
And you're only as powerful as how much you know him personally. So
True. He
developed. He took his time with me. So now it is concrete. It is concrete. It is a part of every fiber of my being. It's a part of my character now because I didn't rush the process. I accepted it. My foundation is solid now. I didn't want to rush it because of my experience. I was authentic. That's why I'm authentic. I'm bold. I'm courageous.
Yeah.
I have nothing to hide from anyone because I know him personally now. See, like I told people before, people love the idea of God. They love the idea of our Lord. That's not loving him. Then compared to having a real relationship loving him. Everyone loves the idea of him, and they think they love him, but they don't. I'm just being honest. So it took those years to really develop a true, authentic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tells you, peace, be still. Be still. Do it the right way. Don't just rush and be scared and frightened. No, ask him to come and he will guide you on your time. Some may get it faster than 14 years after an experience, or some may get it without an experience. Every relationship is customized with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique as our fingerprint. Everybody has a unique fingerprint. Your relationship, he talks to me different than he may talk to you. Everyone's relationship is different, but the love doesn't change.
Amen. So I wanted to tell us about your ministry, the books, because I know you have two books, and there's one that's going to have this experience even in more detail.
Yes.
So tell us about your ministry
and
the books and where we can find you as well.
Sure. Our parent ministry is called the Narrow Path Society, and we also have a ministry called Blessed to Be Chosen. You can reach us on blessedtobechosen.com. You can also email us at blessedtobechosen.com7@gmail.com, or you can email us at thenarrowpathsociety@gmail.com. Also, my first book is on Amazon. It's called The Toughest Enemy You Have in Life Is You. My second book is in Barnes & Noble. It's called Passport to Eternity. And my third book is coming out in 2 months, God willing. It's called Spiritual Currency. And it would detail all the things that I can't talk about on here in much detail that I could possibly put into words of my hell experience and after. Also, we're doing a lot of great things. You guys, go to the website, www.blessedtobechosen.com. We're doing a lot of great things. Right now, we're trying to make sure, because we're connected with the International Bible Givers, where we get out, praise the Lord for them. They supply us with our Bibles so we can get enough Bibles to go pass out, you know, out to the streets. We pass out Narcans for those that are addicted. We're always looking for volunteers. You can give us a call. We have a prayer line and also resource call, or if you wanted to set up an appointment to talk with me, it's area code 763-447-8562. And also, we have a text to give number. It is 773, the text to give. Text, T-E-X-T, the number 2, give, at 773-257-0061. And also, you can join us to join our group on Facebook. We have the Narrow Path Society on Facebook. Our members have been joining great. We have a great fellowship, great ministry. So you all, everyone is welcome. All questions are welcome. Now, the foolish thing is if you don't ask questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. We're here to help, God willing, and I love you all, even believers and non-believers alike. But I just hope people give God a chance. Just pray and ask. What do you have to lose? You know, so please contact us, please, because we're doing a lot of great things.
And they also have a YouTube channel as well, right? A new channel?
Yes, that is Dominic Morrow on YouTube. You can go to YouTube. Hold on. Here, come in. I want you to meet somebody as well. This is my IT guy here, your brother in Christ.
Hey, what's up? What's up, bro?
I don't want to intrude or nothing like that, but it's Dominic Morrow, Inc. on YouTube. He's the first one that pops up. You know, we have the interviews, his music as well, and in the links in there as well, it also shows, like, the drop-down, the email questions, anything like that. We'd be glad to hear from you as well.
All right.
Thank you, brother. See, look, so good. He handles all of those things. So, yes, that's my brother in Christ right there.
Nice. Do you want to, like, maybe pray us out and stuff? Maybe, you know, we'll pray for you, too, you know, regarding, like, your upcoming surgery and stuff like that. And then, is that okay if I pray now?
Sure, please. Or? Please do. I appreciate it very much so.
Father, we come before you, Lord God, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, Abba Father, and I thank you even now for this moment in time and for your Son, Dominic, Abba Father. Indeed, you are the God that heals, Lord God, and there's no distance indeed in prayer. So I ask, O God, that you will heal him and restore him completely, Abba Father, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, Abba Father, that is a surgery that's coming up, Abba Father, that you'll make it successful, O God, that even afterwards there will be no residue of shrapnel or bullets within him, Abba Father, and that he'll be able to walk fully, and that there will be no more pain, Lord God, concerning when the weather changes, the rain, the snow, the cold, etc., that you, O God, in your mercy, in your love, in your goodness, in your grace, Abba Father, will grant him healing in Jesus' holy and everlasting name, and that which, Lord God, you've called him to, you'll bring to fruition and to the fulfillment for your glory and the advancement of your way, your will, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this moment in time and for your brother, my brother, Lord God, your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. What a wonderful testimony this morning. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Because it's to remind us, of what we can experience if we don't stay focused. The believer must stay focused on the word of God, on the things of God. That way we are safe. But if we don't focus, if we become reckless, we could end up in hell. And this is not where we want to ever be. Yeah. So today we want to talk about getting ready for what is ahead. Heading in the right direction is very important. It's easy these days for destruction to come and show up unannounced and bare fast. No warning, and people need to be prepared for what is ahead. We're talking about what is coming soon. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. His word is fulfilling right now. And so what we want to do is gird up his word and share the goodness of him with as many people as we can. And we stay focused so that we don't lose focus. And many times people will have others who respect them and love them and for the sake of the word. And they will abuse that. And the more people come their way, the worse they get. But we don't want to be those type people. We want to be a people that let other people know it's not me, but it's Almighty God that has power. It's never me. It's always him. If God has used me to bless you in some kind of way, it was him. I'm just a vessel he can use. So we want to prepare for what's coming. The last time I talked about all of this, what was coming, they called it the coronavirus. And later on, as they researched and continued, they called COVID. And do you know COVID is still here? People are still going to the hospital being diagnosed with COVID. That thing did some damage to the world, not just America, but to the world. So what's coming next? What's next? We never know. God don't always tell us exactly what it is, but he warns us that it's coming. Prepare yourself. Get more into my word. Let more of my word get in your heart. Pray more. Share more of me with others. Share more of my word with others. Yeah, that's God. Hallelujah. And he is faithful. And we are thankful unto him. I want to share this one again. And Brother Anthony, tomorrow I'm going back to open up the studio. But I wanted to share this one right quick. And if we have enough time, I'll open it up this morning. Because I love that you come in and give your testimony unto God, giving him praise every day. So let me go to this one. And then as soon as this is finished, the studio is open.
Oh, man, not again. Look, y'all, I'm excited. I'm excited. I haven't made a video in like 5 days. I'm hyped. I'm excited. There's no better time than today to seek the Lord, to put your faith in him, to put your trust in him, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's going to get to the Father except through Jesus. Look, there's no better day than today to watch a testimony, especially a testimony about Judgment Day. So this video that we're about to watch, this video was posted 7 years ago. It millions and millions of people have seen this video. I don't know, maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. I've never seen it personally, but millions of people around the world have seen this video, apparently have been impacted by it, apparently have been saved because of this testimony. And I'm curious. I want to see what's up. I want to see what's up. The title of this video, it says, Urgent Warning, God Showed This Man Judgment Day. And look, you never know when Jesus is going to return. Yes, we can see the signs, you know. There's certain things, there's certain prophecies that have to be fulfilled before he can return. But regardless, you better make sure you and your people are right with God, because when he cracks that sky open, you better be prepared. You better have your faith in Jesus. All right? But before we get into this video, I just want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. Man, y'all are crazy. Y'all are so crazy. Y'all are so crazy. Me and Elliot, we put this project out, the He Is podcast. We released it five days ago. I was tripping. I was stressing because, you know, these conversations, I don't know how some people are going to take it. And for the most part, it's been very, very positive feedback. I would say like 97%, 98% positive feedback. And even the people who have given negative feedback, it's all good. I want y'all to be honest either way. I don't want just, you know, sunshine and rainbows. If we acting crazy, if we saying something crazy, go ahead and correct us. Go ahead and rebuke us. That's fine with me. I just want the truth. And I want y'all to be led to God. All right? And that's why we made this project. But for those of you who have not watched the podcast, the first three episodes are out right now on the He Is YouTube channel. Yes, I know they're 2 hours long. And some of y'all might not have time to watch an entire two-hour podcast. So if y'all kind of want like a sample, a feel for what the podcast is, we do have an Instagram channel. We have an Instagram page that literally has 50 clips. So if y'all want to just go and watch some clips to kind of get a feel for what it is, see if you like it. It's not going to be for everybody. It's not going to be for everybody. Some of y'all are going to love the podcast. Some of y'all are going to hate it. It is what it is. It's not going to be for everybody. But there is an Instagram page if y'all want to watch clips. There's also a TikTok page if y'all want to watch clips as well. I'll link everything down below in the description. Also, I don't know if I said this or not. When we put the podcast out like 5 days ago, it was literally on the top 10 international charts on Apple the day after we released it. That's truly incredible. It's truly insane. And I just want to thank y'all for all the support. And we're going to keep going hard. We're going to keep posting content to help you draw closer to God and hopefully reach new people and help them get saved as well. All right. But anyway, let's get back to it. Urgent warning. God showed this man judgment day. All right. Let's get into it. I'm already hooked. Let me run that back. Can you imagine life beyond what you have seen?
October 2nd, the most traumatizing and awakening day of my life.
An out-of-body experience.
Me and Rob will be married 3 years in this October. And in those 3 years, God has really been growing him. And the way he has been dealing with him has been very peculiar.
Mm.
I mean, the dreams that he brings to him, you only know that it's from God because man couldn't think of these things.
Mm.
I mean, and he backs it up with his word. So the dream that you are about to hear is really a testimony from God.
Wow.
And I suggest when you watch this, you not only just watch it and feel that it's something to entertain you.
Wow.
But you evaluate yourself.
Wow.
And you make sure your house is in order for
Amen.
When God comes, because no man knows the day or the hour.
Bro, I literally just said that. Yo, she said, don't be entertained by this. Make sure you and your house, your people are in order, because you do not know when God is going to return. And you don't want to be, left out to be sizzling.
Because I had to do the same thing.
Mm. October 2nd, 2014. Isn't that crazy? 2014. 2004. That's, what is that? I can't do math. Like 9 years. That's almost a decade ago. I know for some of y'all, 2014, it literally feels like it was like a couple years ago. That's almost a decade ago. We are getting old, y'all. That is crazy. Wow.
I remember it was on a Thursday. Matter of fact, let's take it back. Wednesday night, I found myself looking at these different YouTube clips and watching different out-of-body experiences and different films that, they used to scare me, And I would watch it and it would blow me away. It would catch my attention. And it used to scare me so bad. I would wonder, my mind used to go in places like, God, is this stuff real? I couldn't understand it because I've never been to that place. So I found myself praying. I remember walking outside of my apartment, and I was walking back and forth with my eyes closed and just started praying. And I asked God, I said, Lord, if you give me an out-of-body experience, I vowed to share your word and to tell the people what I saw, not expecting that God was going to respond back to that, because I was just praying out. I was just praying, not actually looking for a response. And after that night, the next morning, that Thursday, October 2nd, I had a dream.
Mm.
and my spirit left my body. It was like I was in my...
You know what's crazy? I don't know. I've only had maybe like... Maybe like two legitimate visions and dreams from God. Like maybe two, maybe three legitimate ones to where it's like, I know that's from God. And that's not just my own, you know, conscious just creating a dream. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know these are from God. Maybe two. But every time that has happened, tell me why. I wasn't in my bed. I wasn't sleeping in my bed. I was literally on the couch. It's something about sleeping on the couch. So when I see this dude sleeping on the couch, getting dreams and visions from God, I can relate because it's something about the couch sleep. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But if y'all, if you know, you know. If you know, but you know what's crazy? Also, I had a couple moments where I would get these dreams. And it, you know what's crazy? It's always when you're really going deep in the Bible and going deep in prayer and going deep in scripture, the devil attacks you in your dreams. The same thing, the devil would attack me when I fell asleep on the couch. I don't know. It's just, y'all probably don't care about that, but I saw the couch and it made me remember that. Anyway, let's continue.
My apartment and my spirit got pulled out of my body, and I would go in these different trances, bright color lights. It was white, like, the best way I can explain it would be shoo, 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 all the different flashing lights. And I appear before a blue sky with no clouds. It was like a blue place, no land, no trees, no grass, no water, nothing. There was nothing there but a blue atmosphere. And I would see this atmosphere goes millions of miles upon millions of miles where nothing existed. It was like nothing was hidden. Everything was revealed. Everything was before your eyes, you could see. And we was in this clear kind of body form, some form of light, as you would refer to a soul or spirit and I could see through. It was so transparent, and in front of me was thousands among thousands similar to what I was, and thousands among thousands behind me. And I knew that it was some form of a soul. And in the middle of my chest were seeds. Multiple seeds. I didn't know what they were for, and I realized that I was the only being that could actually move out of my place and look and observe, smell, taste, you know, feel. All my senses were active at this point. And so, you know, I began to look around and to observe the things that I saw, not knowing that this was a dream. I thought this was reality. I thought this was actually happening, you know. And I looked forward, and there was this great shadow way in front of me, way at the end of the line. It was like thousands and thousands of people in front of me, and there was a shadow, a great big shadow, but it had no detail. It was like as a vapor, and I could see that it was a shadow of something that was in the front. And I had many questions at this point in this dream, and out of nowhere I heard these words, "Depart from me." And this galaxy, this portal, I don't know what to call it, on the right side of God, you know, or Jesus Christ, you know, whoever you decide to identify that spot of judgment, on the right side of him, there was this big portal that opened up, and there will be stones of fire. Hey, normally, when you get a lighter and you cut it on, try to spark a flame, but instead of fire, it was stones. And they will leak out of this portal. And whoever that guy said, "Depart from me," flew down this place. And it, the flame, the stones were so hot that it would burn everybody outside of that portal. On the left side of our body or our form, it would burn us. And everybody would be like, "Ooh!" Like, it was so cold or so hot, you would tell somebody to close that door. It's too cold. That's how hot it was. And the portal closed. And then he sent them so fast that the screams were late. I was like,
"Yo, that just gave me the chills." He said he sent them so fast to hell that the screams were late. Hold on, let me run that back real quick.
It was so hot that it will burn everybody outside of that portal on the left side of our body or our form. It will burn us. And everybody be like, woo! Like, it was so cold or so hot, you would tell somebody, close that door. It's too cold. That's how hot it was. And the portal closed. And then he sent them so fast that the screams were late. Out here, like it was like depositing me. And it closed up.
Wow.
Then the screams come. And it terrified me. And then out of nowhere, something snatched us up. And like we moved up the line. And I began to think, I didn't understand where we was. I'm like, oh my God, maybe this is judgment. Yeah, you know, I had many questions, and I would hear, depart me, depart me, depart me, and all these different people would be sent to hell. And the part that scared me the most was the people that were getting judged, you could hear when God was talking to them. And you could hear everything they got judged from. So if somebody went to hell for something that you knew you struggled with in your life, you knew where you were going. And so I'm just saying, people go, shoot, sit there, boo, boo. But I'm seeing the flame, and it's just constantly burning everybody outside that haven't been judged yet. And I could hear some of the people talking to God. And I remember there was a woman, you know, blonde hair. And God was talking to her. He said, I'm not judging you for what you put on Facebook, but I'm judging you on how everybody else received it. 300,000 people were led astray by one of her Facebook posts.
Dang.
And he said their blood was on her hands. And I don't know what he said, depart from me. And I'm talking about, I couldn't express how powerful his words were. It's as if he said, depart from me, and everything shook. Boom. And she was like, she was sent with great force. And the port opened up. Boom. She was going, and it was closed. And like, and the screen was so late. It terrified me. People, adultery, fornication, so many different things that I could actually hear. And people in front of me were terrified because a lot of those people were struggling or went through the same situation, and they never repented. So I, 1,000 sent here. They would go, they were flying. Somebody was flying so fast. I've never seen something so fast. And it got to the point where I was next in line. And he called me up. And he started talking to me. And keep in mind that our life held us hand to hand. So anything we did in our life, our life testified against us. So you couldn't lie because your life testified. Say, yes, you did. You did this. You did this at this time. Yes, you did. And whenever God would speak to me, you would see a big screen. Like you would see as if whatever God says, it comes to life. And so he started talking to me, and he started telling me everything that I could have did better. And at this point, you know, I'm like, okay, God, you know, I could do this better. I did it. You know, I did okay with it. But I could have did better. So he began to say other things, and he brought up this specific woman, and he asked me, why didn't I forgive her? And he gave me her specific name. I'm not going to say it. He gave me her specific name, and I knew exactly what he was talking about. He asked me, why didn't I forgive her? I said, I did, God. I did forgive her. He said, well, if you forgave her, when you get on the phone and talk to her, why is it that you treat her like the situation happened all over again? And I'm like, God, but I did forgive her. He said, well, if you forgave her, why are those seeds still in your chest? And I looked down. I was like, oh, my God. That's what those are for. Those are seeds of what I did in my life, the things I didn't forgive. So he was talking to me, and I was like, oh, my God. And he told me, he looked at me and said, because you didn't forgive her, I didn't forgive you some of your sins. And I was like, oh, my God. And he started telling me so many other things, and he ain't told me not one good thing yet. And at this point, I'm getting terrified because my mind is starting now going to a place where I'm imagining how hot this fire is going to be when this portal opens. And so, you know, I'm scared. I didn't know how to explain how terrified I was. Words can't describe. Will you make God faith? Words can't describe how terrifying it is to look your creator face to face. Where there's nothing hid from him. There's nothing. Your inner thoughts are revealed before him. Your perception, how you feel, everything that you hosted in this body is presented before him. And so, you know, I got to a point where I didn't want to hear God no more. I was really turning my head because I was afraid that, you know, it's already made his mind up. I was so afraid. And so I turned my head and he would just kind of tell me everything that I didn't do right or I should have did better. And at this point, I knew I was going to hell. I knew it. I was fully persuaded that this was it. So I turned my head and I was like, I don't want to hear no more of it. You know, my mind, I'm just I'm just really trying to imagine how hot hell is going to be. I'm like, oh my God, Lord, I have no more chance. If I go down there, I can't come back. Like, Lord, please don't send me to hell. Please, like, God, please. I'm begging you. And I was more terrified than I can express. And so I turned my head and at this point, I no longer wanted to hear what he had to say because I knew at this point, you know, I was going to hell. And I would have my head turned. And out of nowhere, there was this warm feeling that would come over the interface of my soul. And I would turn my head. It would go in slow motion. And the tears would fly from my face. And I looked at God. And I was looking at his judgment. What was going to be my judgment? And he looked at me. He said, face to face, you don't get it well done. You give it, you bury the pain. And he stepped back and said, come. And at this point, I was so confused. I'm like,
wait, what did he say?
The interface of my soul. And I would turn my head. It would go in slow motion. And the tears would fly from my face. And I looked at God. And I was looking at his judgment. What was going to be my judgment? And he looked at me. He said, face to face, you don't get it well done. You give it, you bury the pain. And he stepped back and said, come.
I don't know what he said. He said, you don't get a well done. You get a, hold on. You don't get a well done. You get a what? I need subtitles.
Face of my soul. And I would turn my head. It would go in slow motion. And the tears would fly from my face. And I looked at God. And I was looking at his judgment. What was going to be my judgment? And he looked at me. He said, face to face, you don't get it well done. You give it, you bury the pain. And he stepped back and said, come. And at this point, I was so confused. I'm like, oh, my God. And on his left side of God, heaven would open up so soft with brilliant light. The colors were undescribable, like colors I've never seen before in my life. It was so bright, so pretty, so amazing. And the colors would blossom as they grow, and the heaven would open up so gentle. And I would walk toward that direction, and my hand would go in the portal. And when my hand went through, it got bigger. My arm went through, it got bigger. It was like I was growing into a mature state of a glorified body. And so my leg went through, like, got bigger. And you can see how big I got on the other side. And how my soul was being transformed into a glorified body. And my body would go through it. And the only piece that was left behind was my leg. And right before my last foot got in, I woke up. The dream scared me so bad. I was underneath our living room table for hours. I was so terrified. I was terrified to move. I was terrified to do anything because I was afraid it was going to be added to my judgment. I thought that was the judgment. That didn't feel like a dream. I could feel, I could taste, I could tell you how it made me feel. Everything was so alive in the dream. And at that moment, I was asking God, why did you give me this dream? He said, because I want you to warn my people that the things you choose to talk are the things that shall be. And I didn't realize that what I prayed for and the vow I made before God that he was going to fulfill it. Now he's looking for my aim to be fulfilled. So that's why I'm here talking to you right now. Forgive let go. I couldn't describe how many people that allow for unforgiveness to grow in them, and it caused a bitterness, which caused them to do things that they got judged for. That thing caused them not to make it to heaven. I was terrified. It was so many people went to hell. And it felt like I was the first one. Like, God, it was thousands among thousands of people in front of me. That is scary to me. So today I encourage you to get it right with God. Get it right with your fellow friends, your enemies, the church hurt that causes you to attack people in silence. Go get it right. Because hell is not worth it. God scared me so bad in this dream. But I knew it was for a reason. So today, choose love. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And that he died, but he rose on the third day. Believe that he's the Son of God. Read the scripture and apply it to your life. So that when Jesus come back, he don't see your flesh, but he see his word. I encourage you today. Forgive. Love. And watch how God change your life. I thank you for watching. Be blessed.
Dang.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a testimony. And I played this one this morning, the whoopers at the door, and I played the guy who was there for 3 minutes and 47 seconds or something. Three minutes, 47 seconds. Y'all forgive me. And I played this morning because of this. We need to know. We need to be mindful. We need to be remembering God so that we'll know what to do. Yeah, stay focused. And every time I get a chance to hear this, I hear it. Yeah, because it helps me. Listen, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say today, feel free to press that number one in. And I don't know, is your mic open, Brother Anthony? Okay, there you go. I thought it was, but it wasn't. All right, good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. How are you?
I bless, highly favored. Can you hear me this morning?
Yes, sir. Nice and clear.
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you, Ms. Barbara. Good morning to everybody listening out there this morning. First of all, I just want to give God thanks for life helping me, giving me my right mind, allowing me to see another day I've never seen before. Thank God for the activity in my limbs. And I thank God for who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me. Just blessed to be here another day. Also blessed to hear that testimony, you know, and just make you think, you know, as I was sitting here, you know, I was pondering in my mind, Lord, is there anybody that I ain't forgave, anything that, you know, I haven't, that somebody did to me, where I ain't have given it to my heart, you know, because, you know, that just make you think, you know, we think we, a lot of things that we go through and things that people are doing to us and stuff, that we let it go, but, you know, that man just said, you know, what was those seeds in your chest, you know, so, you know, that made you think, that made you have to go back and examine, you know, and I just came in and I was like, Lord, if there's anything or anyone in my life did anything to me, Lord, I repent and I ask you to let me get them forgiveness, because I don't want them to tie me down, you know, to keep me from going to see you in glory. So I thank God for that testimony myself. And, you know, I just got to continue to pray and just continue to have a forgiveful spirit daily, and, you know, just don't have try not to have nothing towards anybody in my heart, on my mind, you know, even in my thoughts. You know, if I get to somebody do something, I just got to say, Lord, forgive them and help me forgive them, Lord. And help me move on. I don't want nothing in my heart towards nobody, you know. And I try to, you know, try to do that now, but, you know, even more, you know, it's just, you know, you just think about it, you know, how he was saying, how they will, you say, depart from me, you know, and they, I could just imagine, don't imagine that, you know, don't want to imagine, but, you know, I could see it, so it just blessed me as well, and so I just continue to, I got to do the best I can do and strive the best way I can, and, you know, keep my mind focused on him and the things of him, and just continue to try to love the best I can love, you know, ask him to, and that's one of my prayers. When I pray, that's something I pray, Lord, let me love as you love, you know. So, you know, I just, that's something I ask God to instill in me, you know, and especially to have patience, you know, because sometimes, you know, we get around certain people, or we'll be around some people and they do stuff, you know, and we might be having a day where we ain't really feeling it, you know. And, you know, that there you go, you know, that simple little thing, you know, that having a little upset in that day, you know, can make you feel some type of way for somebody, you know. So, we, you know, at the end of the day, you got to pray, just ask God to give you patience and help you forgive and be able to love what he loves. So, I thank God for that. And I just ask y'all just continue to pray for me, keep me in your prayers. And also, I would like for y'all just to pray. And I'm already claiming and speaking that I got the job, got the position, but I put in for the Ada County Highway District, which is the DOT out here where I'm at. And I put in an application for a position. And I was talking to the Lord the other day. Lord, I want to, you know, have they checked on my application, you know, went over it or whatnot. And I called and left a voicemail, to see where it was at and see how they had acquired my application, checked on it. And I never got no phone call back. Well, last week, Friday, would be the guy the guy called me about the position, asking was I still interested. So now I'm going ahead and speak that I got the position and that I will have it. And everything going to line up like God has and have it and wants it to go. And I always kind of wanted the job with DOT, you know, because I know that's a good state job, you know, a government job, state, however you want to say it, you know, good benefits and, you know, retirement plan. Because I was reading over it, you know, and everything, and we had a retirement plan, and they had a sign-on bonus, so, you know, I'm just thanking God in advance, and I give him all the glory, honor, and praise for everything he's doing in my life, every door he opened for me, and every door that he closed as well. So I just ask y'all just continue to keep me in prayer, and, you know, we touch and agree that I got the job, glory be to God, amen, in Jesus' my name, amen.
Amen, Brother Anthony. Amen. I touch and agree with you, and I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you concerning this job, everything that you say it is, and more. Yeah, I speak it upon you this day in the name of Jesus. And so we thank God that he supplies. Yeah, not only that, he give heart desires. And so we thank him this morning that he's able. I saw this earlier, the saints of old, and I wanted to just share this a little bit. It says Abraham left his country and was going to kill Isaac. Joshua led Israel after the death of Moses. Moses led Israel out of bondage. Samuel, God chose, and he spoke to King Saul as his advisor. King Saul, chosen as a young man to be king. David killed Goliath and fought wars and became king. Solomon, the son of David, and wise man ever lived. John baptized Jesus. Yeah. These are things, and I, you know, certain things I go over sometimes again to refresh my mind and to help me to remember. And so I'd like to share, because it's good news. It's good stuff. It is what we need to stay focused and to stay in God and with God. I'm grateful unto him this morning. So listen, we're going to pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And I am working and planning to do a special for July 4th, which is Thursday. And afterwards, I'm going over to spend some time with my niece and my family. And but I wanted to do a July 4th show, and I wanted to be special. So I invited some special guests to come and speak and to come and share some things that, you know, people are doing. And so I know God is faithful, so we trust him for this Thursday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for every testimony, oh God. Oh, we are overcome by testimonies in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And Father, today we come asking that you would bless every house represented here, every caller, every listener. And Father, we ask that you move for them this week in a mighty way. And God, you know what your people need. Supply this week according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, many need more money because the price of everything has gone up. And Lord, what we used to make is just not footing the bill. But Lord, if you move on our behalf, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask that you will continue to bless Sister Irene, touch her body and heal. Touch Sister Sharon here, Sister Dr. Goodman, Sister Jerry Crowd. Do it for your glory today. And Lord, those that have requested prayer, we ask that you would move on their behalf this day in the name of Jesus. But Father, you know what's best for all of us. And we give you glory and honor and praise for it. We thank you right now. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jehovah God, for what you're doing for your people right now. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And as we depart, bless our going out today. Father, bless our coming in. Again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And again, we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. Blessings of Almighty God upon you this day, July 2nd, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning.
Yeah. Hi, it's Tony. Mate, the place is rolling down here. We really need you here fast. Mate, I just need you here now.
Come on, boy.
I am a working man, oh yes I am. child. I was born in the north. I was born in the autumn time. Lord only knows what for. I was born when leaves turn red. Born when things are dying. But I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes, I am.
Welcome.